Welcome to Grace Chapel, where the Word of God is not bound by religion, tradition, denomination, or political correctness.
The core concept of sanctification is separation. We are separated from sin, and then we're separated unto God. So we're separated from a lifestyle of sin, and then we're separated unto a life of holiness serving God. Before you come to Christ, you were enslaved to sin. And once you come to Christ, you are now free from the tyranny of sin. It no longer has dominion or control over you. And so what Paul is teaching clearly in Romans 5, 6, 7, 8, all the way on, is that a believer stands in a position of sanctification. That is, we are no longer enslaved to sin. Once we come to Christ, we have been set free from the tyranny of sin. It no longer dominates you. It no longer controls you. You may have been an alcoholic before you got saved, but once you come to Christ, you are set free from that in the name of Jesus. You may have been a fornicator. You may have been an idolater. You may have been a homosexual. You may have been a lesbian. When you come to Christ, you are now set free from that tyranny of sin. That's what it means to be sanctified in a position with God. For when you were slaves of sin, you were free in regard to righteousness. But what fruit were you getting at that time from the things which you are now ashamed? That's a great question, isn't it? What fruit were you getting from your drunkenness? What fruit were you getting from your drug use? What fruit were you getting from your porn addiction? What fruit were you getting from your homosexuality? What fruit were you getting from your adultery? That's a great question, isn't it? And if you're really honest with yourself, you would say death, destruction, loss of family, loss of jobs, lost my brain cells. What fruit were you getting at that time from the things of which you're now ashamed? For the end of those things is death. But now that you have been set free from sin and have become slaves of God, the fruit you get leads to sanctification and its end, eternal life. For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Even though we never come to the place in this life where we are not able to sin, we can have help so that we are able not to sin. See, you have been freed from the dominion of sin. Now when the temptation comes, you have a choice. I sin or don't sin. If you lean into the Holy Spirit, you are feeding your spiritual man. Prayer, worship, Bible reading, service, that kind of thing. If you are feeding your spiritual man, you are strong against the temptation to sin. But if you're feeding the things of the flesh, when the temptation comes, you're going to sin.
This broadcast is brought to you by Air and Heat Service Company. Your comfort is our concern. Air and Heat Service Company, a Christian company based in Byhalia, Mississippi. For more information, visit airandheatservices.com. That's airandheatservices.com. 1-888-845-9580. 1-888-845-9580. Air and Heat Service Company. Your comfort is our concern. Now let's join Pastor Jason Murphy with part two of the message, Becoming What I Already Am.
Here's the second one. 1 Thessalonians 5, verses 23 through 24. Now may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely. He takes the work and the initiative. Listen to this. Now may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely. And may your whole spirit, soul, and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. He who calls you is faithful. He will surely do it. Remember, from God's standpoint, it's done. And he sanctifies you completely. Notice sanctification involves your whole being. Everything about you. Your body, your mind, your heart, your spirit. Everything about you is to be sanctified, is to be for God's glory, to be used for God's purposes. And he who calls you is faithful, he will surely do it. Philippians 2, verse 13. For it is God who works in you, both to will and to work for his good pleasure. Right? It's God who works it in you. If you have a desire to do the will of God and to work for the will of God, it's because God put it there. Hebrews 13, verses 20 through 21. Now may the God of peace, who brought again from the dead, our Lord Jesus, the great shepherd of the sheep, by the blood of the eternal covenant, equip you with everything good that you may do his will, working in us that which is pleasing in his sight. Through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. All right, let me highlight some things. Now may the God of peace equip you with everything good that you may do his will. God of peace, working in us that which is pleasing in his sight. How does God bring that about? Through something we call discipline. I like to term it this way, our spiritual spanking. Hebrews chapter 12, that's exactly the point of discipline. By the way, if you're not disciplined, you're an illegitimate child. You may claim to be a Christian, but you're not. Without the discipline of the Lord being exhibited in your life, you're not really a child of God. You're not really saved. And it's through discipline that God brings about fruits of righteousness. You see, a parent understands that when we discipline our child, we're not just interested in inflicting pain upon them. If that's your idea of discipline, you're wrong. That's not discipline, that's abuse. Now, discipline should hurt. If you spank your child and they laugh at you, you're doing something wrong. The main point of discipline is not to inflict pain, but rather produce righteous behavior. Hebrews chapter 12, verses 5 through 11. I won't read that, but you can write it down. Clearly states that. And so we see in our processional sanctification, we're in the process of becoming what God has declared us to be, right? God has a role in our sanctification, but we have a role in our sanctification as well, in our growth in holiness and spiritual maturity. We also have a role to play, right? If you sit back and say, well, just let God, you're missing the point. There is responsibility on our end as well. Listen to this. Romans 8, verse 13. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. Here, clearly stated in one statement. By the Spirit, you put to death the deeds of the body. You can't put to death the deeds of the body unless you have the power of the Holy Spirit in you to do it. But if the power of the Holy Spirit is in you to do it, then you have the responsibility to do it. In our churches, we have so many people who claim to be Christian and might be, but yet they find themselves in bondage to sin because what they're doing is they're waiting for God just to work this miracle. Well, God does work miracles. God does deliver people. Instantaneous. You can come to the altar and pray and never want another drop out of a bottle again. But more times than not, you are delivered through discipleship. As you grow in your sanctification and holiness, the power of the Holy Spirit gives you the ability to put to death the deeds of the body. Philippians 2, verses 12 through 13. Therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, so now, not only as in my presence, but much more in my absence, you, remember, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who works in you both to will and to work for his good pleasure. So God puts it in you to do it, gives you the ability to do it, and then you have to do it. You work it out. And by the way, if you were to break that down in this language, it's like mining for precious metals. It's like digging through the earth to find precious metals. That's exactly right. Like, you're nothing but earth, right? I know you think you're all that, but you ain't. You're dirt. You're earth. You're decaying. You have to move some earth to mine to bring to the surface the precious things that God has put in you. So there's a working together in our growth in holiness. 1 Thessalonians 4, verses 3 through 4. For this is the will of God. By the way, if you're wondering if it's God's will for you to be sanctified and walk in holiness, the answer is yes. It is not God's will for you to say the prayer and then keep living life how you live. That's not how it works. For this is the will of God, your sanctification, that you abstain from sexual immorality. You abstain from it. Oh, God, please deliver me from going to this pornographic website. And the whole time the Holy Spirit's saying, quit clicking on it, you big dummy. He gives you the power to do it. So do it. that each one of you know how to control his own body in holiness and honor. See, this is the fruit of the Spirit, self-control. 1 Corinthians 6, verse 18. If you kind of remember how language works, there is an implied or understood subject in the sentence, flee from sexual immorality. Who's to flee sexual immorality? You. You flee sexual immorality. Every other sin a person commits outside the body, but the sexually immoral person sins against his own body. But the point I'm making today is you flee from it. The Holy Spirit empowers you to do it, so do it. 2 Corinthians 7, verse 1. Since we have these promises, beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from every defilement of body and spirit. You can't cleanse yourself unless you have the power of the Holy Spirit. But once you have the power of the Holy Spirit within you, then cleanse yourself. Ephesians 4, 22 through 24. To put off your old self. You put off your old self, which belongs to your former manner of life and is corrupt through deceitful desires. And to be renewed in the spirit of your minds. And then put on the new self created after the likeness of God into righteousness and holiness. You come to God. He saves you. He redeems you. He declares you justified. He declares you adopted. He declares you sanctified. He gives you with the power of the Holy Spirit. Now you begin the process of taking off that old man because it's already done. It's dead and buried with Jesus Christ. You've raised in newness of life. Now make sure it stays dead and buried and walk in the new man. Don't go back to the old way of life. Why are you digging up the dead? If you came to Christ, the old you is dead and buried. That old man is no longer in control of you. Colossians 3, verses 5 through 10. Again, the same point. Put to death, therefore, what is earthly in you. You put to death what is earthly in you. You drop down to verse 10. It says, having put on the new self. Put on the new self, which is being renewed in the knowledge and image of its creator. You come to Christ, he declares you sanctified. From his perspective, it's done. But man, you're still over here. You're still struggling. The difference is that now you have the Holy Spirit within you. You have been set free from the dominion of sin. You have the power of the Holy Spirit. You have his word to guide you. And as you read and as you spend time in the presence of God, the Holy Spirit empowers you and gives you the ability to do your part, and you begin to work out your own salvation, and you're moving in this continuous forward progressive movement. You're continually moving forward. Now, some of you, it's like this. Like you're good for a while, and then, man, you bottomed out. You're not so good. Well, that didn't happen to you, but your neighbor struggles with that, right? But here's the thing about it. You're doing this, but the whole time you're doing this, you're also moving. You're moving forward. Let me give you some hope here. A Christian never gets to the point where they're sinless, but they sin less. And as you grow in your sanctification and holiness, the outward sins become less and less. Like very few of you go out there, murder somebody, or commit adultery, like literally the act, or drunkenness, or whatever. As you grow in your Christian walk in holiness, the outward sins become less and less. You know what becomes more pronounced? The inward sins of the heart, which is really the issue anyway, because it's out of the heart that the other things are manifested. So, man, you come to church and you look good. Well, some of you, all right, you look good, okay? And you come to church, you hadn't cussed in 6 months, but on the inside, whoo, you just ripped that girl to shreds. And you said every cuss word in the book. But in your mind, you just say it out loud. You're like, oh, I love you. Bless your heart. Now look, see, you laugh because you know I'm right. In the South, and you're a Christian, bless your heart is a cuss word. Like, for that person is stupid and I want to rip their head. Bless their heart. Right? You hadn't been to that pornographic website in a year, but you still got lust. You just channeled it into another direction. See what I'm saying? And the more time that you spend in your Christian life and in your growth in holiness, the physical manifestation of sin becomes less and less. It does. Or it can. Or it should. But man, the matters of the heart become more and more pronounced. You know why? Because you become more and more aware of it. Of how wicked your heart really is. And so we're in this constant battle. The Bible terms it flesh, but it's our old sinful nature with our new nature in Christ. And there's this battle raging on the inside. And you have the power of the Holy Spirit and the gifting of the Holy Spirit, the fruit of the Holy Spirit, to control your body and to control your mind, to have it renewed according to the Word of God. Amen. Yes. Lastly, the third phase, and I'll close with this, is what we call perfected sanctification. Perfected sanctification. This perfected sanctification will not be obtained until you die or until Christ returns and our bodies are changed, you know, that kind of thing. The resurrection and the rapture, you were caught up, we're changed in the moment, twinkling of an eye, that kind of thing. We put on the new person completely, totally. Listen to this. When that happens, we will not sin anymore. Not only in the outward act, but even in our hearts. Listen to this. Revelation 21, verses 5 through 8. And he who was seated on the throne said, "Behold, I am making all things new." Also, he said, "Write this down, for these words are trustworthy and true." And he said to me, "It is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. To the thirsty, I will give from the spring of the water of life without payment. The one who conquers will have this heritage, and I will be his God, and he will be my son. But as for the cowardly, the faithless, the detestable, as for murderers, the sexually immoral, sorcerers, idolaters, and all liars, their portion will be in the lake that burns with fire and sulfur, which is the second death." By implication, those who aren't in the second death, meaning separation from God, eternal separation from God, we have been sanctified fully and finally. We won't sin anymore. We're not outside of the New Jerusalem. It makes it even more clear in Revelation 21, verses 22 through 27. John writes, "And I saw no temple in the city, for its temple is the Lord God, the Almighty, and the Lamb. And the city has no need of sun or moon to shine on it, for the glory of God gives its light, and its lamp is the Lamb. By its light will the nations walk, and the kings of the earth will bring their glory into it. And its gates will never be shut by day, and there will be no night there. And they will bring into the glory and the honor of the nations. But nothing unclean will ever enter it, nor anyone who does what is detestable or false, but only those who are written in the Lamb's book of life." Amen. Amen. When we reach heaven, we will have been finally and fully sanctified. By the way, that's also called the doctrine of glorification. Here's some really good news. You ready for this? I'm going to close with some good news. From God's perspective, your glorification is already accomplished. Listen to this. In Romans 8, verses 29 through 32. "For those whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his son, in order that he might be the firstborn among many brothers. And those whom he predestined, he also called. Those he called, he justified. Those whom he justified, he also glorified." Spoken in a sense that it's already accomplished. Something in theology you need to understand. Already, not yet. From God's perspective, it's already done. But from my perspective, not yet. God said, "You're sanctified already." You're like, "Not yet." Because you know you. Some of you sinned on the way to church this morning. Bunch of heathens. Some of you sinned when you walk in the building. And some of you sinning right now because you hating what I'm saying. God also says, "You're glorified." And you're like, "No. Have you seen this body?" Yeah, I have. Some of you got a lot of work to do to get there. We're falling apart. Things don't work like they used to. But there's coming a day. When you come to Christ, when you come to Christ and you repent of your sin, Jesus is now your Lord and your Savior. You're declared justified. You have been sanctified. You will be glorified, and you're currently in the process of becoming both. That's what the scripture teaches. Therefore, no matter what sin you struggle with, whether it's an outward action or even matters of the heart, and again, the matters of the heart are the real issue because that's the manifestation of what's really going on in your heart. No matter what sin you struggle with, you have the ability through the Holy Spirit to overcome it. You are not in dominion to sin. You have been set free from the tyranny of sin. Now you are a slave of Jesus Christ. You're under the domain of Christ. And you submit yourselves to the dominion of the Holy Spirit, who empowers you and enables you to live a life of holiness without which no man will see the Lord. Next week, we'll get into the nitty-gritty of how do we do that? How do we grow in our sanctification and in our holiness? Today, I want to lay the groundwork that you are, as a child of God, declared sanctified. You are filled with the Holy Spirit. And you should continually be filled with the Holy Spirit to empower you to live a life of holiness. Whatever sin you're struggling with, you have the power and authority through the Holy Spirit to overcome it. You can't do it in your natural flesh. You need the power of the Holy Ghost. The great thing about God is He gets it to you. And so today, you will walk out free in Jesus' name. God has given you the ability to overcome any sin that haunts you. God has given you the ability to overcome any sin that haunts you. And that ability obviously comes from the Holy Spirit. For anyone who is struggling with what the Bible terms besetting sin, come and ask God to renew your mind to the truth that sin shall have no dominion over you. Romans chapter 6. Sin shall have no dominion over you. And present your members, your body, your soul, your mind, everything about you. You present that to God to serve the Lord. If you have that desire to do that right now, then take heart. Because according to Philippians 2:13, that's God who's working in you both to will and to do work in His good pleasure. And He who called you is faithful, He will surely do it. Just get in the presence of God and say, Lord, here I am. Renew my mind. I present my members to you. My mind, my body, my will, my emotions, everything about me. I'm submitting them to you for you to use for your glory. And Lord, I'm asking that this truth would be realized in my life, that sin would have no dominion over me. I am no longer in bondage to X, Y, Z, whatever it is that you're struggling with. Sin will have no dominion over you. Romans chapter 6. You're a new creation in Jesus Christ. If that's you, I invite you to spend some time in the presence of God. What's great is there's no judgment, there's no condemnation here. Those who respond this morning, we agree with you, we believe with you, we press in with you, we pray with you that God would indeed empower you with His Holy Spirit. Give you the ability, the strength, the determination to overcome. I encourage you for a moment to enter in. Just begin to worship. Worship the Lord.
Thank you for joining this broadcast from Grace Chapel, Collierville. For more information about Grace Chapel, visit our website, ColliervilleGraceChapel.org. That's ColliervilleGraceChapel.org. This is a Valley of the Whale production.